we can remember more than others when we are happy. And just thinking about one of those moments that you were really, really happy, and you feel it. However, no one can deny that those moments just gone, just passed through. So those moments are a temporary moment. It's a temporary mood that we feel. As human beings, we are always subject to emotions. And our happiness are linked to a different factors. So if you remember the moment of your lives when you were happy, thinking about what it was and what you were doing it. Because it's linked to factors like how what we are thinking about it, what our state of mind is, the place that we are. It's different if we are probably walking in the beaches or we are in front of the sea or in any place that you love to be. Our feeling is different and happiness is different. Or possibly depends on what activity we are doing. I don't know if you have noticed something interesting. We were talking last night about that with Timothy and Anita. But it's very normal to see people happy or quite happy on Fridays. And you know that common word, common phrase, like happy Friday. So it's good to be being Friday. So, but usually, one of the saddest days is Monday. I'm not sure why, but maybe we really know. So that's an interesting thing, because definitely happiness is linked to our emotions. So totally linked to that. Now, while this is true, that happiness is something that we feel in our flesh with some frequency, we should begin to ask ourselves the difference between happiness and joy. So two similar words, but biblically, for Christians, very different words. So happiness, as I said before, depends on our emotions, totally linked to that. And never is going to be complete, because it's temporary. But joy is something that we have to see from the Bible or the biblical point of view. And it is completely linked to God, as we were singing this morning. Why? Why? Because it comes through the obedience, the love, and the knowledge of Christ in our life. That is really the beautiful thing about joy, is having Him. And the other beautiful thing is that joy is permanent. Regardless of our situation, is something that we can possess permanently as a Christian. We have the opportunity to possess that. And something very important is also that joy we feel testify about what we are as Christians, our conversion. That's something really important, because what we want to do always as Christians is to testify about Him. It's part of our life. And we can do it by feeling that joy. But remember, it's not the happiness. It's the joy that only God could give us. Then, probably the question arises of how someone, remember we were reading Philippians, how someone who is imprisoned in a dirty, wet, dark prison possibly with some rats or pets around, custodied by professional killers, because we know that the Roman soldiers were professional killers. Someone with some health issues, mistreated and waiting to be killed or sacrificed, is full of joy, which is basically what we are talking about. How Paul, which is that person that I mentioned before, is full of joy. He was writing this letter with sincere love, humility, and peace. And the word that we are mentioned today, which is joy. He's full of that. The only option for a person, a Christian person, to have that is because the person has been filled with the Spirit of God. And that Spirit is the Spirit that we have and we possess as Christians. That makes the huge change in our life. Doesn't really matter our circumstances. That is what is happening really with Paul. And that's the message that Paul is giving to the Philippians and is giving to us today. If we have a look, Philippians 1 verse 4, Paul says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. It's mentioned the word joy. Philippians 2 verse 2 says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We could mention more from the book of Philippians, like Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. I know that we all remember this verse when we are in difficulties, but we should do it more frequently, not only when we need it. Always rejoice. Doesn't really matter about our circumstances. Joy is also an evidence of our identity in Christ. Now what we are going to do is look at the context of this letter to understand a little bit better the message for us. This letter from Paul to the Philippians is part of the prison letters, along with Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians. This letter has an interesting number of words of encouragement and joy to all believers, to all newborn Christians. Just for reference, 16 times in this epistle, the word joy is there. And 50 times, the word Christ. 50 times in only 4 short chapters. We can read it, the whole letter in 15, 20 minutes. My understanding from some passages in the book of Acts is that this letter was written from Paul when he was in prison in Rome around year 62 after Christ. And Philippi, which is the city of the Philippians, was a colony of the Roman Empire. It was a quite rich city because they had a lot of gold mining there. So basically it was very attractive for people to go there and live in there. And that city was very, very proud of being part of the Roman Empire. And for that reason, Philippi easily adopted the language, the Roman culture, and the law. And they had some benefits like taxation exemptions and things like that. But the main thing is why this letter is so special. So we know that this is encouraging us to have really hope and joy all the time in Christ. But what it was so special for Paul, and is special for us, the church at Philippi was founded on Paul's second missionary journey, as we can see it in the book of Acts. So if we are going to, if you have your Bible, we can go, otherwise I will read it anyway. So Acts 16, verse 11 and 12. Acts 16, verse 11 and 12. It says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedon, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. Something that always distinguished Paul's ministry was that wherever he went, he dedicated himself to doing what the Lord has called him to do it, preaching the gospel, teaching the message, and preaching Christ as Lord and Savior. This is a great example. A great example for us as Christians. Sometimes we forget that we are Christians. We are going to 3-4 weeks holiday and we are in a holiday mood. Even go to the church where we are. Even try to proclaim His word because we are on holidays. So, you know, it's something like our identity is not just in church. It's not just during the week. It's all the time. And the joy is there. It's something natural. It's not, look, we don't have to do any effort to show that because it's already in us. There are two aspects that I would like to touch in here, which is, first, Paul, and that's why the letter, remember, that's why the letter is so special. So Paul was planning to go to Asia. But the Spirit of God forbidden them, and that is why they turned out in Europe. So a big difference. They were planning to go to Asia, but they didn't go because the Spirit of God forbidden them to do it. And that is that the passage to connect that is Acts 16, also verses 6 and 7. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. And say it like this. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit didn't permit them. So what happened there? Why? God always has a plan. And that was His plan. So He took them to Europe. What happened there was a wealthy woman named Lydia, who worked with the purple fabrics, converted to Christ. And why this is so important? She was a very influential person because the job that she had, which is dyeing fabrics, was something very expensive. So it was something like no anyone will be able to buy. So that's why she was very well connected. And also it was a very profitable business. So that's why we know that she was quite an influential person and rich. This woman worshiped God. says the word. So it is possible that she was a jealous Jew for the law of Moses, as Paul was. But says the word that she listened and the Lord opened her heart to the gospel message of Christ and believe in Jesus. And from that moment, the church in Philippi met in her house. So let's look again the book of Acts, same chapter 16, but the verses 14 and 15. And the narrative there says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Who is reading the book of Acts? Luke. So Luke was there as well with Paul. So it was Silas, Paul, Timothy, and Paul. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. It's an amazing word from the Lord. So the Lord was helping them to planting the church and the message of Christ to Europe. That's the beginning. This is what the Word of God does when we listen it. That's why we have to, with joy, take the message of Him. Through the Word, we realize that she, Lydia, and all her family was baptized. So they became believers. We mention, if we think about it, we mention about how this letter was so special for us, special for Paul. And we can see how the Lord is working in the life of Paul and also, of course, in the life of the people that was listening the message and received the message. And that from that point, it's so important because it started the expansion of the Word of God in the whole Europe. So that was the plan of the Lord, using them, using Paul and the people that was with him. And that thing really brought to Paul something very special towards the Philippian church. So that church was very close to Paul and support him all the time. And we will see it through the message. The church always support Paul's ministry. And Paul writes also this letter as gratitude. He sends this letter, if you have read it, the letter, he sent this letter with Epaphroditus, who had been initially sent by the Philippians. That's the interesting part. He was sent by the Philippians to help Paul. So he's supposed to help Paul in his ministry, but then he got sick on the way to Rome. And Paul sends him back with a letter. Send him back to the Philippians with this letter. So the explanation behind of that is in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30. It says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger And the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So he got sick. For indeed, he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. That's the explanation Paul is giving them. He had to do it because they sent him to help Paul, and then he's coming back. They were thinking, like, what's going on? So Paul sent this letter explaining the reason. So they were, he was really happy to have Epaphroditus, but he couldn't keep it. But he will be able to keep it, but we can see the love of Paul for this church, that he preferred to send him back. That's love and gratitude. But there is another part in the letter, which is the second point that I want to touch base today, which is Paul is writing to them, not only inform them the situation of Epaphroditus, as we read, but also exhorts them to something important. The mission of Epaphroditus there was to keep also the unity of the church. That was one of the ideas of Paul. Keep the unity in Christ in the church. Having Epaphroditus there, as we are members of the same body, and they were members of the same body, they should operate as one, looking for the needs of everyone and supporting everyone. Some people there in Philippi were really, really concerned about Paul, of course, but also about the Epaphroditus situation. So then Paul sent him back with a letter telling them, look, don't be concerned about me, but keep Epaphroditus there with you to don't have sorrow, to be united. So if the Philippian church live joyful in Christ, we should live joyful and have joy in Christ too. And one of the protections that we should have as Christians is to make sure that the world is not overtaking the church, which is so common in these days. So we have to keep united as one body in Christ, helping us each other, knowing what the situation of everyone is, to help our brothers and sisters. We are only one body with different functions, but one body in Christ. And Paul was having lots of afflictions and concerns, but not really because the church of Philippi, and we will see it later on, were doing something wrong. But he was concerned about the false teaching on chapter 3. Because he mentioned in Philippians chapter 3 verse 18 about the enemies of the cross of Christ. That was his origin thing on that letter as well. So we should know this. We are living in a fallen world. We will always, remember this, we will always have affliction in this world. We will have sadness. We will have dissatisfaction. We always, as human beings, will like more and more than we have. And that creates dissatisfaction. Remember what Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8 says. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we create our own dissatisfaction. As Christians, too, we do it. Because we are still in this body, in this flesh. But always remember that this world, we also could have happiness. Remember, we have had happiness. And we also have satisfactions. But the main thing about satisfactions, about happiness, about dissatisfactions, afflictions, all of them are what? A temporal thing. All of them are temporary. Our desires are temporary too. This is the reason why our citizenship is in heaven. We are waiting for it. It's in the kingdom of heaven. Our eyes, our thoughts must be on the cross of Christ, thinking about Him, serving Him. Serving Him is also serving each other, serving in the church at all times. So that is the joy that Paul is talking about. And that joy is not only possible for the Philippians, it's not only possible for Paul, but everyone, for everyone who is in Jesus Christ. So then, as Christians, here in the church, thinking about two questions. Are we in Christ? Do we live for Christ? That's part. The answer is part of our joy. That's the point. You remember the passage from John 15, which is talking about the true vine? Verse 4 from John 15 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So the answer to the first question, are we in Christ? Abiding means to persist, to persevere. And this fact constitutes an evidence that salvation has taken place to us. And that thing is something important because it's the teaching of Jesus. Is Jesus remembering us that He is our Master? Mastering our life in full. So give up to ourselves and let Him to master our life in full. So we need to surrender our life to Him, to Christ. And in the same passage of John 15, verse 11, there are two words of joy. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," says the Lord, "may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. So in this verse we have twice the word joy. The first one refers to Jesus, whose joy was submit in obedience to his Father. And in a parallel, the other word joy in the same verse is for the believer to be obedient and submit our life to Christ. Jesus submit his life and obey the Father, the Father's plan. We should do the same in Christ. These two, and we are talking about the joy of that. We have to feel it, really. These two answers inspire us and show us that we can have this joy. It's there. It's there for us. That nothing, nobody can offer us that, because it is only given by the Father in the person of Jesus Christ. So it's a privilege for us to have it. Maybe now we can understand a little bit more why this letter is so special. Paul greets the Philippians on a regular basis, as he didn't really do much for other churches. And in this letter in particular, when, if you remember the verse 1, he also mentioned Timothy. And as I said before, Timothy was with him. And Paul makes a special mention about Timothy. And his plan was what? To send Timothy to the Philippians, endorsing him the church. He says on Philippians 2, same book, verses 19 to 22, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his Father, he served with me in the gospel. So Paul is entrusting Timothy, and he's telling them that because of love, we know how close Timothy was to Paul. But that was the love of Paul telling them that he will send Timothy. Telling them also that they shouldn't be concerned about him, even of his situation. Paul in his greetings, in all his letters, are very special because he always emphasizes the grace in which someone can be saved in Christ by believing in Jesus, and also the peace. That is the consequence of the gift of grace. And that's on verse 1. On verse 2, sorry, you can read it. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We only can have it in Jesus Christ, that grace and that peace. But also, in this specific verse, he mentioned the saints. So he's mentioned the church as a saints, referring to the believers, to the church of Philippi. And Paul ends the greeting, highlight that they are only is including him, only servants to the Lord. Nothing more than servants to the Lord. Also something that we have to appreciate from this beautiful letter is the order that the church is having in Philippi. Since Paul mentioned as well the believers at Saints, the elders and the deacons that are serving the church. So the structure of the church is healthy. So if you read another, you have read another letters, you will see it and you will identify a lot of issues. But so far, we cannot see issues or concerns from Paul to the letter to the in this letter. So the structure is very according to the Bible. That's probably why there are not many concerns from Paul in this letter. So in verse 3, remember that the Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In the context, this word, I was having a look, this word thank my God. The Greek from this particular thanks in this verse comes from the word eucharistio in Greek, from where the word eucharistic is coming from. And that word specifically is talking about the united of the church, the union in the same body, and also the Lord's Supper, which what we remember in the Lord's Supper is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was there specifically in this particular verse. And it's showing the bond he had with the Philippian church. And the blessing that they offered to him, that came to him in joy, in full of joy. Paul's intimacy with God also reflects the gratitude towards the church and also the relationship with the Lord. That's something really, really important. The relationship with God is giving Paul the opportunity to proclaim the joy that he is feeling in Christ. So the reflection of every believer must be the joy that we should feel in Christ. And also, an evidence of that is the way that we serve each other and pray for each other in the church. The verse 4 mentioned, always in every prayer, on mind making requests for you all with joy. This verse has also the word joy, a sincere love between the brothers and sisters in Christ, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So if we're thinking about this and what Paul is expressing us in this letter, it's full of hope. It's full of joy to have the certainty that all of us who have heard the gospel and accepted the word of Jesus in repentance of sin and faith have been bought at the price of blood, precious blood in Christ. Paul is teaching us that by the cross of Christ, all, remember this, all our suffering are temporary. So brothers and sisters, I don't know your specific situation or affliction or burden, but the Lord does know to the deepest of our life. And what we do know is that the affliction of the present time are not comparable with the coming glory that will be manifested in us. The cause of our eternal joy is our permanent identity in Christ, not only today, but tomorrow and until eternity. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love and encouragement that you give us, knowing that our true joy is only in Christ. And we are able to trust in Him, regardless of our circumstances, because you have overcome the affliction, and by your Spirit we have you living in us as an eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus. We pray this morning. Amen.